Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and my weekly visit with the voice of the Tigers, Mike Kelly, presented by Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, Hair Saloon for Men, Schnucks, Think Local, Think Schnucks, and Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert. This is also brought to you by the Lou Fuse Automotive Group. I have just signed up for Fuse Select, and you should do this. This is an incredible, incredible deal. First in the market to get there and do this. Mike Kelly has signed up. I'm a member of this. And all you have to do is download their app, hit sign up, follow the instructions to create an account. You'll need to provide a credit card, select a plan, provide a picture of your driver's license that will verify your information and check your driving history. What do you get? You can flip out a car anytime you want. Trucks, sports cars, it's date night, you're headed to a farm, whatever the case may be. That's what I do. I flip it out all the time, and that's at Fuse Select. Download the app, check it out. It's an incredible deal, first in the marketplace in St. Louis. As I mentioned, this is brought to you by Hot Shots. Best place to watch the game this weekend for Mizzou. All the Mizzou specials at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill and Hair Saloon for Men. I go there, take my boys there. Hair Saloon gives you the perfect haircut. $22. It's not just a haircut. You get the complimentary soft drink, hot towel, and a mint. It's a great, great place to go. I go there, take my boys there. I love it. Hair Saloon for Men. Coming up, we visit with Mike Kelly.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios, a chance on Scoops with DannyMac.com to always visit weekly with Mike Kelly, the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Missouri Tigers. And Mike, this time last week, we were talking about a dangerous Memphis team and maybe a dangerous game for Mizzou, and for all intents and purposes, a must-win. Well, Mizzou answered all those questions. I thought it was maybe their most complete victory of the year.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Dan, the thing that really hasn't been talked about much is something that I thought was really important, is finding a way to stretch the field vertically without Emmanuel Hall and without Nate Brown. Jalen Knox certainly has shown the ability, the freshman wide receiver, you know, to make plays downfield. But you need someone else. And I think, you know, for Derek Dooley to formulate plays, to be able to take advantage of matchups with Albert Okwuegbunam at tight end and use your tight end to stretch the field vertically, to me, that was that really speaks volumes to the job that I think Derek Dooley is doing as the offensive coordinator of Missouri. So, important win. And the other thing you take away from, Missouri came up with multiple interceptions, first time that they've had two takeaways in a game this year. You know, and that's something that's a trend that has to continue. And you know, experience tells me that those things can happen like that in bunches. You know, you get a couple of turnovers in one game, next thing you know, you're getting a couple more, and you know, that just you know, as Gary Finkel used to say, turnovers are the great equalizer, and so you want to avoid them on the offensive end, but try to get as many takeaways defensively as you can.
I wanted to ask you in this visit about Derek Dooley, and you touched upon it briefly, but give me just your impressions of Derek and now running the offense and having obviously a big role with the coaching staff at Mizzou.
Yeah, don't know him well. Have been around him on a couple of occasions. You know, just from a personal standpoint, he seems a little guarded, you know, but I think that's just getting used to a new setting, getting to know people for the first time. I think he's doing a terrific job. I really do. And, you know, I think he and Drew Locke have developed a bond and have developed a relationship that's very important. You know, and I think you've seen growth at that position. Now it has to continue. You know, big thing from Saturday is that, you know, Drew Locke threw for 350, had four touchdown passes, and he didn't have a turnover. Now, people, there's the glass half full community that will say, well, it was against Memphis. Okay, that's fine. You know, but step in the right direction. And again, you know, it can help in terms of, you know, finishing out the last five games on a positive note if Drew can really build off of what he did. And again, being able to find guys other than your wide receivers to make plays downfield can only help your quarterback. And so, you know, the offensive line did a very good job. You know, no sacks given up in that game. They will be challenged this week by Kentucky, and we'll see if Missouri's up to the challenge.
As you can imagine, so many fans that will tune into this are curious about Drew Locke, and I've asked you multiple times about him, but you know, you're talking about one of the premier players potentially in the country and going into the draft. Give me just your general feelings of his season, some ups, some downs, but what you thought of Drew Lock so far.
Well, the three-game swing against, South Carolina, Alabama, and Georgia, not his best moments, and he'll tell you that he had to play better in those games. So his completion percentage for the season dropped after those three games to below 60%. Saw him throw five interceptions in those games. And so then that naturally brings up the question, for people that are looking from the outside, looking in, is he always going to struggle against the elite teams in the Southeastern Conference? And, the one thing that I think have to always look at when it comes to the position of quarterback, and again, I go back to what Gary Pinkel says, your record is what you are. Drew is 0-8 against ranked teams in his career. He does not have a winning record against teams in the Southeastern Conference as a quarterback in his career. So I think those are all things that serve him as motivation for trying to finish this thing out the right way. Now, can he do it? We'll find out because he's got, an opportunity against a ranked team coming up this weekend against Kentucky. Certainly has another one coming up against Florida in a few weeks, actually 2 weeks. So, we'll see. I think you can understand why scouts are in love with him. He's got the big arm. He's got he does throw the ball downfield, with accuracy. Does he struggle in the pocket sometimes against the elite defensive lines? And I think that's something that that people will look at and say, yeah, we think that he does. And so, all questions that he'll have to, continue to answer as his career progresses. Here's what we do know. He's your starting quarterback for the next five games, maybe six if you get to a bowl game. He's got a chance to continue to put up big numbers. He's over 10,000 yards passing in his career. There are only two other active quarterbacks in the nation that have more career passing yards than Drew Lock. So he's had a terrific career. He would tell you that he would, and this is Drew the kid, who I absolutely respect and think the world of, he would tell you that he'd cut off his right arm for more wins. We don't want him to go that far. leave that right arm intact because it's been doing some pretty good things.
You mentioned, and this is why I love visiting with Mike Kelly, who is one of my best friends in the world, and he knows I think he's incredible at what he does, and one of the reasons I got into this business. But on a side note, I love doing these interviews with you because I can bounce around and ask you different things that I think fans are curious about. And one of those is, you mentioned a couple of times Gary Pinkel and that name. And I saw Gary with you at the Segs for Vets golf tournament a couple of weeks ago. What is Gary's role with the university, and is he visible? Do you see him around town? Just what do you see with Gary Pinkel around the program?
So his role or whatever position he had after stepping away from coaching has come to an end. He no longer really has an affiliation. He's doing a lot of motivational speaking and team building type engagements with different companies and different sports programs and things like that. I see him in town, when I'm in town for football games. In fact, I saw him Thursday night at dinner. He and his wife, Missy, were at the Alabama game. And that was an interesting game for him for a couple of reasons. First of all, it was his former school playing at Alabama, but they were playing against his former teammate that he played with at Kent State and Nick Saban. And then also one of the former guys that he coached that was on his staff at Missouri for so long, Craig Kuligowski, now the defensive line coach at Alabama. So several different ties for Coach Pinkel that weekend in Tuscaloosa. But, he's doing fine. His health is good. He's just doing a lot of things. He did a thing for charity a couple weeks ago, Dan, in which he scaled down the side of a multi-story building in Columbia, rappelled down it. And this is the side of Pinkel that to me, speaks volumes to why he was successful as a head coach, is that before he did it, I mean, he had people like breaking down for him the fundamentals and taking classes. And so now he's into now he's into rappelling, which I don't think anybody would have anticipated that happening. But he did it for a great cause, and it raised money, and you know, a lot of people took great pleasure in watching him do that. So I don't know that I'd do that, Dan.
No.
Outside of a building, I just don't think that's something I'm quite interested in at this stage of my life.
No, me neither. And that's a definite that you can take that to the bank. Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here. Big things are happening at Schnucks, especially in October. This month, you'll start to see Schnucks stores popping up all over the city. Living in St. Louis, you know Schnucks is committed to the communities they serve. Now, there will be 19 new Schnucks stores in neighborhoods all around town. You'll also notice that prices are falling, and your points will be piling up with the Schnucks Rewards app. So check out a new store near you. Come say hello. Visit Schnucks.com for the full list of new stores. See you at Schnucks. I'm curious. The keys to the game this weekend as we wrap it up here with Mike Kelly, and I am going to ask you about Jontay Porter, but I want to ask you, first of all, the keys to the game this weekend against Kentucky. What needs to happen for a Missouri victory?
Well, you've got to play four quarters, without a doubt. I mean, just a couple of numbers about Kentucky that I think you'll appreciate. Kentucky's outscored its opponents in the third quarter 45-7. They've outscored opponents in the fourth quarter 55-20. So what does that tell you? That tells you that big physical offensive line, which they have, really will wear down an opponent as the game goes on. So that's something to keep an eye on. Can you get multiple hats to the football, and can you control Benny Snell Jr.? You know, Benny Snell's probably, you know, if not the best, one of the best running backs in the SEC, getting 124 per game, 5.4 per carry. You know, he's a guy who's approaching 1,000 yards rushing. So I think it was a really good tune-up for Missouri, you know, to play Memphis the week before playing Kentucky. Can you find a way to get some takeaways? I think Kentucky's going to want to ball control you. They don't have terribly productive quarterbacks. Terry Wilson is only throwing for 721. Gunnar Hoke has only thrown 14 passes this season. There has been word, you know, if you follow the Kentucky people, that Wilson starts and that they may see other quarterbacks as the day progresses. I think that plays in Missouri's favor. But I think what Kentucky's going to want to do, they're going to want to ball control you and limit the opportunities for Missouri's offense. Statistically, this Kentucky team is the best team that Missouri will play so far this season. They're only allowing 300 yards per game. They've got 7 interceptions, 5 fumble recoveries on the season, and they're allowing just 12.9 points per game. Oh, and oh, by the way, in 7 games, they've already got 20 sacks as a defensive front. So Missouri's going to have to do a terrific job of, you know, protecting Drew Locke. Missouri's only allowed 8 sacks so far this season through the first 7 games of the season. Mizzou's got to start fast. You know, they've outscored opponents 82-37 in the first quarter. And Missouri's got to continue to be able to use the passing game to stretch the field to open up running lanes for Larry Rountree, Demaryius Crockett, and Tyler Beatty. So I think it's an intriguing matchup. The interesting thing is that the odds makers have Missouri favored by 7 against the nation's 12th-ranked team. So that's going to tell you something about what they think about the matchup, too.
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw that initial line that came out. I saw 6.5, and it's jumped to 7. Before I let you go, Mike, terrible news for the Missouri program and Jontay Porter. He's going to miss the year with a knee injury. Many Mizzou fans are tuned in right now, and they're curious about your thoughts with this. So I'll ask you, Jontay Porter, done for the year, your thoughts?
Well, I feel for the kid, first and foremost, because I know the amount of work that he put in during the offseason, you know, to get himself in a position to really have a terrific season. In my mind, I think Jontay Porter would have easily averaged more than 20 points and more than 10 rebounds this year, and probably, you know, 4 or 5 assists, maybe even more than that. So you feel for the kid, first of all. And then on the other level, the reason why I feel for Jontay is that this was going to be the first season completely where he could step out of his brother's shadow. Michael's on to the NBA with the Denver Nuggets. This was going to be Jontay's team. This was going to be where a team that Jontay no longer would have to defer. He was going to be the man for the first time really in his career. And so that opportunity now goes to the wayside. You know, so really my thoughts are with the young man. Now, from a team standpoint, guess what? No one in the Southeastern Conference, no one in America cares that your best player is sidelined. They don't care. What they do care about is trying to beat you every time they step on the court. And so now who's going to step forward? You know, Jeremiah Tillman, guess what? It's time for you to now take a larger role. Kevin Poirier, you have to take even a much larger role. Guys that are newcomers in the program got to take a much larger role. Your guards have got to grow up in a hurry. So, you know, it's one of those things. I thought with Jonte Porter, with Jeremiah Tillman, you know, with the other folks returning and the newcomers, that this was a basketball team, Dan, that was a tournament team. And now that path becomes much more difficult, you know, without your best player. But again, no one cares. And so, you know, Konzo Martin and his staff will continue to work and find ways to, you know, maybe change things from an offensive standpoint to utilize the talents of what they have. But just puts more of an onus on others, other players, to be much better than they've ever been. And we'll see if they're up to the challenge.
Mike, thanks. Have fun this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.